This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It may seem unbelievable, but a United Kingdom lawmaker has stunned the parliament there in the UK, calling for members of the COVID cabal to face the death penalty. At the same time, Pope Francis has now denounced anti-vaxxers and calls COVID jab refusal an almost suicidal act of denial. So, will the UK lawmaker call for the death penalty of Pope Francis? Just asking, my friends. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about this matter of the ongoing information concerning the COVID jabs. No, they are not vaccines. We have covered this over and over and over again. Even this CDC admitted that they were not vaccines when put to the test, and actually then changed the definition of a vaccine in order to continue to use the word vaccine, because, as they admitted, a vaccine, as commonly understood, meant that whatever you called the vaccine had to prevent one from getting the virus and also from transmitting it. And these jabs did neither. If they did, then the putative president of the United States, who had gotten his jab and rejab after that, would not have gotten COVID at least three times. But he did. He did. So the fact that Pope Francis didn't get COVID, having gotten the jab, is no indication that so many others who did get the jab have lost their lives as a result. So it's very easy to do a little dance concerning and arguing back and forth about the value of the so-called jab or vaccine, and or the lack of value and its dangers. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to go back and we're going to review some of the most recent developments concerning this issue. And why would it be that the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, did a study on myocarditis after the COVID shots, and then all 148 pages of the study were redacted before being produced? Why would they do that? Obviously, they had something to hide. In fact, they had something monumental to hide. So it's now more obvious than ever that the government in the United States was actively hiding the harmful effects of COVID shots. Last September, two years after the introduction of the COVID vaccine, Dr. Anthony Fauci finally admitted the vaccines caused myocarditis. So when did they learn this? How severe were the results? Well, apparently all of this is contained in this 148-page study of the CDC that they refused to allow to be seen publicly, even by government. They totally redacted it. So if there wasn't something very damning in that document that they're trying to hide, why then would they do a massive cover-up of all 148 pages? Just asking. If you present this kind of thing to a jury of reasonable men and women, 12 reasonable men and women, by the time you're through with today's program, I'd like to ask you, if you were a member of that jury, just based upon the evidence that you hear today, what would your verdict be concerning the pressing forward with either you individually or anybody else taking these so-called COVID shots, or mandating them. And then and another way of looking at it, would you be willing to find that there should be criminal responsibility for pressing forward, notwithstanding all of the evidence to the contrary? Or if you would not be willing to advance criminal response, how about civil liability? Would you be willing to do that? Well, Representative Chip Roy has introduced a bill, legislation, which he said would empower Americans to hold COVID vaccine manufacturers liable for any losses that their vaccines caused. It's called the Let Injured Americans Be Legally Empowered Act to wipe away COVID vax manufacturers' statutory protections, opening them up to civil lawsuits. Millions of Americans were forced to take the COVID injection, as you know, out of fear of losing their livelihoods and under false pretenses. So in a press release, Representative Chip Roy said many have faced injury from the vaccine, but few have been afforded any recourse. To date, a mere 11 injury claims have been paid out, despite nearly 700 million doses of the vaccine having been administered. He said the American people deserve justice for the infringement on their personal medical freedom, and those medically harmed deserve restitution. What do you say? Do you agree or disagree with Representative Roy? He said the liable act would empower injured Americans by removing all federal liability protections for the COVID-19 vaccine, preserving the ability of injured Americans to access pre-existing compensation programs, specified the bill is retroactive to ensure Americans who received the COVID-19 vaccine before the bill is enacted to benefit. So what would you do? Would you vote for it or not? If not, why not? And if you would, why? So all of that here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And, you know, when something gains the kind of emotional, fear-driven traction, then also under mandate of government and threat of force or fear of force and of losing your job, of losing your ability to even have your children continue to parent your children in your home because you will not give them the vax. You can begin to see there was something quite monumental and something very unusual about this, wasn't there? And that's why many have said this was a precursor to the infamous Mark of the Beast. We'll be right back, friends. Stay tuned. Again, Viewpoint does determine destiny. It's determined the destiny of at least 17 million people, according to recent stats. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Always seeking to present the truth in love, but to present the truth without excuse, to allow people, sincere-minded people, people who love the Lord and want to do His will as best they understand and as best they can conform to the word, will, and ways of the Lord and His Spirit. That's what we try to do here on Viewpoint. We have no secondary agendas. It's not about power politics. It's not about presenting things in such a way that we can somehow endear ourselves to the largest number of people to gain the maximum support for some project or to sell so many books or so on. No. In fact, everything that we do here on this program is actually, in a sense, people would say, calculated to do just the opposite, except we don't calculate to do that. But when you don't tell people what they want to hear, when you tell them what they don't want to hear, if it's true, then basically you cut your throat financially. That's why, one reason why we cannot afford on this program to have commercial support for the program. Why? Because once you have commercial support, you are at the mercy of the one who is advancing the funds through the commercial support to keep the broadcast going. And if they don't like something you say, or they want you to say something that you don't believe should be said, then you have to make a very serious choice. And if you become so inured to the benefit that they're providing, you feel like you have no other choice, and so you conform. That's what happens all over this country, where the market actually rules over the master. And the master then becomes, in many respects, a mere mascot. We refuse to allow that to happen here on this program. For that reason, neither do I or anyone else associated with this program receive any remuneration from your donations. Why? Because if we did, then it might affect what we would say or not say in order to make sure that we could maximize the flow of donations. Are you beginning to understand how it works? We don't do that. We would rather be simple and small than we would to compromise our integrity, because that's exactly what has driven our country and the church to its knees here today in our world. And when I say to its knees, I'm not talking about to its knees before God. We have yet to do that. No, we're just increasingly finding ourselves at a place of desperation. And the news is coming out everywhere. Just this very day, several news reports coming out saying that America is right near its demise. Where's the hope? Well, friends, let me tell you, there is hope. The hope is not necessarily in the resurrection of a political entity called the United States of America. Our hope is in reaching the maximum number of people to conform their word, their will, and their ways to the word, will, and ways of the Lord. In other words, to humble themselves before Him, to receive Yeshua, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, but more than that, to obey His voice. It's the failure to obey the word, the will, and the ways of the Lord that has led us to this precipitous moment in our country today. It's our failure to trust the Lord with all our heart and to lean not unto our own understanding or the pontifications of the Pope or the President of the United States or the presidents of colleges that are still mandating COVID vaccines. You see, our trust really isn't what we say it is, what we think it is. But as the song once said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not just Jesus' righteousness, but our walk of righteousness. If you depend on Jesus' righteousness and walk like a hellion on this planet, you're not going to inherit Jesus' righteousness. You have already defiled yourself and defamed his name, and he's not going to receive any rebels into his kingdom. You understand that? Would you? That, my friends, is why we need the mercy of the Lord. We need the mercy of the Lord because we're guilty before him. And then when we humble ourselves by receiving his mercy and conforming in repentance our ways, then we can walk in his grace, his unmerited favor, which also enables us to be doers of his word and not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves. You say, well, why are you talking about this in the midst of a program dealing with the COVID jabs or vaccines or vaxes, whatever you want to call them? Because, friends, what drove this was our lack of trust in the Lord. We trusted the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the pharmaceuticals, J&J, Pfizer. We trusted everybody else but God. And there was no evidence that we should trust any of this. So why did we? Fear. Fear has torment. God doesn't want you and me, want us to walk in fear, does he? He wants us to walk by faith. You can't walk in fear and faith at the same time unless it's the fear of the Lord, because that's the foundation of our faith. Now, all that having been said, we go back now to take a look at what happened here. Here is the grand pontificator, allegedly, of the Christian faith. His name is Pope Francis, and he's denounced anti-vaxxers and says that their refusal to accept the jabs was a virtual suicide act of denial. That's what he said. He's issued a fresh condemnation from the Vatican of critics of the abortion-tainted COVID-19 injections, saying that the opposition to the shots distressed him, since being against the antidote is an almost suicidal act of denial. Denial of what? Denial that a flu? You see, COVID is just a form of flu. Yes, it's more severe than other flus. But hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, about 600,000 a year, no, 600, die in this country from the flu. Did you know that? You see, those kinds of things are lost in the muddle, because all of the facts are not disclosed. Why are they not disclosed? Because they won't sell the jab. It was all about selling or marketing the jab. Now you have to ask yourself, why was it that they felt such a need in intensity to market or sell the jab? Well, power, perks, and position. It's always the same three. Power, perks, and position. Those in the governmental and other agencies, including presidents of universities, leaders of medical societies, they promoted it because of it solidified their power. It increased their positions from their viewpoint. And they believed that it would inure to their pocketbooks. Perks. So why then did the Pope rebuke those who did not receive an injection or who voiced opposition to them publicly? He said, deciding whether to get vaccinated is always an ethical choice. But I know that many people signed up to movements opposed to the administration of the medication. This distressed me because, in my view, being against the antidote is an almost suicidal act of denial. The problem was it was not proven to be an antidote. It was just experimental and still is. So the Pope himself was deceived. He bought into the same arguments without any verification whatsoever. Referring to the COVID-related lockdowns as a grim scenario, Pope Francis failed to mention the multitude of side effects linked to the rollout of the experimental jabs, including major upticks in heart, brain and blood diseases, among other issues, which, by the way, we're going to focus on as we move forward in the program. The pontiff, who has remained an outspoken promoter of the injections from the start, gave the opinion that a generalized fear was created when superficial explanations of how the vaccines worked spoke of injections of the virus into the body. The Pope is almost totally ignorant of all of the issues with regard to this so-called vaccine. He pushed the moral obligation of taking an abortion-tainted jab as being an act of love. Like many pastors out there, not just Catholic, popes and priests, but evangelical pastors did the same thing, suggested that everyone take the COVID vaccine. He said, I believe that ethically everyone should take the vaccine. He said it must be done. So in other words, his direction had the form of spiritual, not just direction, but virtual order. For Catholics and for the bishops and so on, it must be done. So when the Pope speaks, he's supposedly speaking as God, you know, the vicar of Christ. So if he says it must be done, well, it must be done. No matter what the consequences, and no matter what his ignorance was with regard to why he said it, it was a feeling, friends. The Pope didn't rely upon facts to define his statements. It was a feeling. Just like the kind of gospel that he's promoting in the name of Christ. It's all about feelings. The Vatican also mandated COVID jabs for Vatican employees and visitors, removing the option to test negative for the virus. An additional mandate resulted in three Swiss guards losing their jobs after refusing to take the abortion-tainted injection. COVID injection mandates finally ended in June 22, though it was extended for the Swiss guards. As late as January 2023, COVID shots were still required for reporters wishing to join the Pope on papal journeys, a mandate which expired by that in April. Since that time, numerous studies and many thousands of scientists and leading health professionals, including Nobel Prize winners and medics, have testified to the unprecedented level of injuries and deaths following and resulting from the COVID injections. And the latest conservative estimate is that over 17 million people worldwide died, not from COVID, but from receiving the injections, making this the worst man-caused medical catastrophe in history. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, where do you stand at this point? We're halfway through the program. Where do you stand at this point? Hang in there. The best is yet to come. This is Viewpoint.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Today on Viewpoint, we're doing an update with regard to the matter of COVID, the COVID vaccine, which is not a vaccine. We'll call them the jabs, the vax, whatever you want to call it. And I presented this to you all as if you were the jury, and you, among 12 reasonable men and women, would have to make a decision. A decision as to, number one, whether the so-called vaccine that even had to have its name changed because it wasn't a vaccine by the admission of the CDC, yet they wanted to continue to call it that because that's what they've been selling it or marketing it to the people for. So, the other thing is, would you be willing to vote as Representative Chip Roy in Texas has promoted a bill that would lift all barriers to the American citizens from suing in civil court for civil liability for injury and or death resulting from the jabs? Would you be willing to do that? Based upon the evidence now, not based upon feelings, based upon facts, evidence. And remember, in a civil court, it's the predominance of the evidence. It's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It's the preponderance of the evidence. In other words, just 51% is sufficient to find liability civilly in most cases. Next question. Would you be willing to find criminal responsibility? That would require proof beyond a reasonable doubt in most instances. But would you be willing to make criminal responsibility part of the government's reasonable response pattern to these shots that have been promoted through manipulation, dishonesty, that were just experimental, and yet the President of the United States over and over and over again from the bully pulpit declared them to be absolutely safe, and if you didn't take the jab, you were asking for a death sentence. But if you did take the jab, he said, you won't get the virus and you're not going to pass it on. Well, he did get the virus three times at least after getting the jab. And we don't know whether he passed it on or not, but medical authorities have proven that the jab did not prevent COVID from being passed on. So now we take a look at a few other items here in this, shall we say, this theoretical court case that we're putting on here on Viewpoint today. A report quietly published by the UK government department, known as the Office for National Statistics, shockingly reveals that people aged 18 to 49 who have received four doses of the COVID-19 jabs are up to 318% more likely to die of any cause than unvaccinated people ages 18 to 49. Let that sink in. This means they found the cause of excess deaths being so high across the Western world and young people dying of cancer across the UK at such an explosive rate that they had no choice but to conclude the jabs were responsible. Now, what do you do with that? In every single month during 2023, four-dosed vaccinated teenagers and young adults were significantly more likely to die than unvaccinated teenagers and young adults. The same could also be said for one-dose vaccinated teenagers and young adults and for two-dose vaccinated teens and young adults in February of 2023. The difference in mortality rates was so stark that the unvaccinated only managed to reach a mortality rate of 31 per 100,000 in January, as compared to the four-dose vaccinated who managed to reach a shocking mortality rate of 106 per 100,000. In other words, three times as much. And one-dose vaccinated also fared much worse than the unvaccinated, with a mortality rate of 53 compared to 31. A similar pattern was also discovered among people age 40 to 49. The figures reveal that both one-dose and four-dose vaccinated adults age 40 to 49 were significantly more likely to die than unvaccinated adults of the same age in every single month since the beginning of 2023. What do you do with that? Let's take a look at some of the increases that they provide concerning cancer deaths alone. There was a 28% rise in fatal breast cancer rates in women, an 80% increase in pancreatic cancer deaths among women, and a 60% increase among men, a 55% increase among men in colon cancer deaths, and a 41% increase in women. A 120% increase in fatal melanomas among men and 35% increase in women. A 35% increase in brain cancer deaths among men and a 12% rise in women. A 60% increase in cancer death rates among men in cancers without site specification and a 55% increase among women. Where do you stand now, dear jurors? The World Tribune gives us this piece. A physician with 25 years experience in gastroenterology told a Senate panel on Monday that the COVID injections reduce your gut bacteria that is needed to boost your intestinal immunity. She also detailed how her scientific studies on the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were sabotaged by the government and by the pharmaceuticals. She said, what we saw with this pandemic was that the price of stock mattered more than the price of a life. A Canadian doctor faces prison. A prominent Canadian doctor will go on trial and faces a lengthy prison sentence for speaking publicly about the damage he has witnessed in his patients who receive COVID mRNA shots. This month, he's on trial over allegations of professional misconduct because he discussed the risks associated with the injections. He is accused of the thought crime of spreading misinformation. The Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who's a World Economic Forum young global leader, is seeking to make an example of this doctor to reveal how the COVID jabs are destroying lives. Why? Because the World Economic Forum is a globalist entity that wanted to use the COVID jabs as a means of advancing and solidifying a new world order and global government through the Great Reset. Is anybody listening yet? Where does the jury stand right now? Bill Gates now is calling for a new form of self-spreading mRNA vaccines. It's been developed that are going to allow governments to vaccinate entire populations without the need for injections or individuals' consent. A new technology developed by the Microsoft co-founder and his various organizations is now reportedly ready to deploy to the public. What do you think about this? They saw, you see, how the vax through the COVID fear advanced through the Great Reset and its agencies through Joe Biden and Justin Trudeau and various prime ministers throughout Europe and so on, including the Pope. Now, all part of the advancing of the new global world order, of which the Pope is one of the principal drivers. And now, as if they saw how powerful that fear quotient was among the people in the world to get to do their will, their bidding, now they're going to up the ante on steroids so that you no longer have to get the jab. You won't have any choice whether to get it or not. They can vaccinate the entire world without injecting large amounts of the population. That's the proposal by Bill Gates, and it's not just a proposal. It's coming in the form of a virtual mandate. He says, this is what you governments need to do. The only thing stopping the mass use of this technology is the pesky thing known as informed consent. So the whole idea behind self-spreading vaccines is largely grounded in circumventing the whole idea of informed consent. In other words, you don't have a choice. That's where we are right now. But where does money come in? Where does money come in to all of this? We'll find out in just a moment. This is Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Are you getting ready to vote, my dear jury members out there? Are you getting ready to vote? Well, we have a few minutes left to lay out some more facts for you so that you will be able to make an intelligent decision. The Pope, in promoting the vaccine and telling people if they don't get it, they don't love other people, which is what he said, probably is not getting any money as a result of his promotion. I mean, he could be, but I don't know. I'm not making that representation. So what is he getting? He already has a position as Pope. So is there any further position that he gains or any further power that he gains? Remember, the whole motivation for all these kinds of things, not just the COVID and vax issue, power, perks, and position lies at the root of every sinful behavior of human body. That's the motivating factor, coupled with envy. So, what does the Pope gain by promoting with such vengeance the vaccine? He gains power, my friends. Power with whom? Not power with Roman Catholics per se, but power among the nations and their leaders. Power among the global pursuers of the Great Reset, because the Pope himself is one with them in spirit and in truth. He is not promoting primarily a global salvation through Jesus Christ as the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He's promoting a very different kind of salvation. The salvation of the world through globalism, a one world order, a rebuilding of the Tower of Babel, the Great Reset, a new world order, a global world order. All three of the most recent popes have supported it and declared their support for it, but there is no one who has been more deeply enraptured by globalism and has been more, shall we say, personally woven into the entire structure of those who are advancing the cause of a one world order and the Great Reset than Pope Francis. And he, in advancing the cause of the COVID jab, was actually facilitating, under the banner of religion, the rulership and goals of the One World Order, which is exactly what Klaus Schwab, through the Great Reset of the One World Order, was declaring should happen. We must use this crisis, he said. Now, shifting away from power and position, let's look at the money angle. The latest report is that 48 colleges and universities nationwide still require the COVID vaccine or jab. In the United States, 48. Despite the CDC loosening protocols for the virus earlier this month and ongoing concerns about possible side effects and the overall effectiveness of the shots, also understanding that those most unlikely to get COVID in a dangerous form would be those under 25. So why are they mandating this? Four dozen colleges requiring COVID vaccine, down from nearly 100 last summer. Among the 48 colleges that still maintain a COVID vaccine requirement is Johns Hopkins University, ranked as one of the best public health schools in 2023 by the U.S. News and World Report. Well, that would seem to be a good thing, wouldn't it? That would seem to indicate, well, they're still holding on because here's this wonderful medical institution that just strongly believes that these COVID jabs are the way and they're effective and they're not injurious. No, my friend. You have to look below the surface. What may very well be motivating such decision? Well, there's no way to actually confirm whether money is influencing university policy and that universities and researchers in the natural sciences depend on grants to do their work. Oh. But until universities figure out a way to fund their research that does not make the universities beholden to their funders, the best remedy is for people to cite the best data they can and demand that universities have academic integrity. Now, here's the deal. Listen. The National Institute of Health has awarded Rutgers Biomedical and Health Sciences $33 million and Johns Hopkins University $155 million in fiscal year 2024. And those two universities still have COVID vaccine requirements. Now, are you beginning to see the connection between the flow of money and the so-called medical standards of these schools? They're not medical standards at all. They're seduced into claiming allegiance to the COVID vaccines in order to grease the skids to get the money from the National Institute of Health that was controlled by Francis Collins and Dr. Fauci. We're conducting a live case right here on Viewpoint today, friends. If you were a jury, I'd be presenting these things to you on behalf of the people of the United States or certain plaintiffs. What would you be prone to conclude? Now, the last one is a report that just came out called Concerns Regarding Transfusions of Blood Products Derived from Genetic Vaccine Recipients. Well, let's put this in common language. Question is, if you have or somebody else has received the mRNA jab, 1, 2, 3, 5 times, whatever, can you trust the blood that you would receive from them in an emergency? Can you trust it not to transmit the same negative problems that have caused the death of at least 17 million people across the world as a result of these vaccines? Can you trust them? That's the issue. Up till now, because the medical profession has not been willing to admit the vast array of information, the data, the actual data showing the damage that these jabs have done and are continuing to do, they have therefore been unwilling to even consider the fact that blood transfusions might be dangerous if the blood is taken from someone who had one or more jabs. So here is the summary of this report. This report is very long, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm going to give you the summary of it. Many countries around the world have reported that so-called genetic vaccines, such as those using modified mRNA encoding the spike protein and lipid nanoparticles as the drug delivery system, have resulted in post-vaccination thrombosis and subsequent cardiovascular damage, as well as a wide variety of diseases involving all organs of the body and systems, including the nervous system. Based on these circumstances and the volume of evidence that has recently come to light, we call the attention of medical professionals to the various risks associated with blood transfusions using blood products derived from people who have suffered from long COVID and or from genetic vaccine recipients, including those who have received mRNA vaccines. Now, do you think they would make this? This is coming from Japan, friends. This is a big deal. This is not some little isolated thing. This is coming from some of the most respected medical experts in Japan. Not the United States. It appears we can't even trust them. But this is coming from some other sources. So we've gone to the UK today. Now we've gone to Japan, and we've looked at statistics coming from around the world and in the U.S. What do you conclude? As the jury, a jury of your peers, what do you conclude? Was the, or is the pharmaceutical industry guilty of criminal action here that should have some sort of a criminal remedy because of the seeming open and obvious intent to deceive the people, including those who represented them, even the medical profession, even Dr. Fauci, Dr. Collins. Should they be subject to potential criminal action? That's one case. The next case is, should they be subject to civil liability action? That's a different story. The standard for proof is far less for civil liability. Just 50 plus percent, a preponderance of the evidence is sufficient to prove that they either knew or should have known of the damage that they negligently put forth these products, claiming them to be safe, yet knowing, or that they should have known, if they had done proper preparation, should have known the likelihood of serious damage that they would do. That basically is the case. Now, if an attorney were to put the case on, he would go into greater details, and there would be numerous different kinds of causes of action, and so on. But that's the basic case. What would you do? How would you vote as a juror? Now, the next question, the final question is, you're a juror of your own life and the life of your kids, your family. Pastors, you're a juror to a certain extent of the life of those in your congregations. Now, what are you going to do? How do you vote? Are you going to be like the Pope and continue to pronounce all of this stuff without even knowing? Come on. Isn't it time for us to face up to the obvious? Become a partner, friend. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. We're trying to prepare the way of the Lord, but also to warn the people for what's coming.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.